3, 5, 2.
To Ryan's relief, there was no sudden gushing tumble of water.
After me.
He walked cautiously into the main entrance of the redoubt, his nostrils flaring at the damp smell that permeated the complex.
Keep on double red.
Should I close the door again? Be safer.
Sure. Let her go.
Most of the strip lights inside the complex had malfunctioned, and it felt as if the air conditioning had also failed in the few days since they were last there. JB paused to wipe his glasses on a white handkerchief that he'd taken out of one of the capacious pockets of his coat.
Damp's gotten into the heart of the place.
I just hope it hasn't done any damage to the gateway. I think we should go straight there and try for the jump. Something here that doesn't feel good. Christy, you feel anything?
Christy touched her sentient hair, now curled tight against her skull.
See for yourself. Can't feel any life, though.
The place reeked of stale water as they continued on through the halls. There were puddles in all the dips of the floor, and a film of oil lay on top, making any movement treacherous and difficult. Some kind of mutated lichen, a sickly phosphorescent green, had taken over some of the first floor, splashing itself over walls and doors.
Looks like the main reservoirs must have drained down.
But where's the water gone?
Down.
JB offered a hand to Mildred to help her around one of the largest pools.
It'll have found its own level and soaked away.
Yeah, down. To the gateway?
On their way to the stairs, they passed the redoubt elevator. Jack stopped and reached for the button.
Still works.
I suppose they malfunction and lose power when we're halfway down in one of them. I don't want to spend eternity in a cold, wet metal box.
Worst comes to it, we can climb down the cables.
Then let us profoundly pray that the worst doesn't come to it.
Smells worse.
Ugh, deeper we get, worse it gets.
On the bright side, it looks as if the complex is entirely uninhabited.
Right. No more double red. We're okay.
They stepped out into a long corridor where all of the strip lights had blown out, sprinkling the floor with shards of razored glass.
Smells more like an underground cave than a redoubt.
Decay, rotting. Ugh, sort of stink that lies on your belly and makes you want to puke. If it gets much worse, we could have problems.
How?
Poisonous gases, John. Workmen who are involved in digging deep shafts and tunnels sometimes get overcome by some very nasty substances. And they die. Often they get this smell, but it covers up the danger lying below.
You get any warning?
No. Safest here is for all of us to string out along a line and take it slow and easy. Then if the guy out front goes down, the others get a warning and they can probably take deep breaths and drag him out to safety. The pockets of gas are likely to be very localized.
It was obviously sensible advice, and Ryan implemented it, taking point himself. Now that he was aware of a potentially lethal threat, Ryan moved much more cautiously, constantly stopping to check his reactions. The air was foul, but seemed breathable. Ryan eventually found himself in the passage that led downhill to the locked sec door of the gateway.
Found the water.
Much?
Enough, plenty.
Safe to join you?
Yeah, I feel all right. A little bit sick. Air's not that great.
They joined Ryan, staring at the motionless expanse of black water that filled the corridor in front of them.
How much farther to the gateway?
Close. I'm certain it's around the next bend. Remember that door we passed. It starts shallow, but it'll get deeper as the floor drops.
The $64,000 question is whether it has penetrated into the actual Mattrans chamber. If it has, then goodbye will be all she wrote.
If it's flooded, we can't jump. Climb back, find the armor wag if nobody's gotten to it first. And move on until we can find a gateway we've used before.
If it isn't flooded already and the sec door's holding it back, then we open the door and it pours in. That could be unpleasant if the electric starts shorting out while we're knee-deep in old money.
All the consoles and the main controls are at least waist high, are they not? All to do with liquid flow dynamics and cubic... Say there's about 60 feet. Pythagoras says that means a volume of approximately 200 million gallons. No, that surely can't be right. Oh, I see where my fuddled brain made it. Let's see.
Well?
My guess is that opening the sector will certainly produce a flood of some dimension. Important to slide it up gently so that it doesn't come tearing in with a heated rush. My calculations indicate that the level might not reach the key controls on the gateway.
Might? What does might mean, Doc?
The old man smiled and patted Mildred on the shoulder.
It means that the game is afoot, and we shall try to prove the case, my dear doctor. I believe that no great harm is particularly likely to come to us.
Still some water.
Jack pointed at the sheen on the wall, where the flow still trickled down, joining the other uncounted gallons.
Means we could get trapped, Doc.
I think not.
Well, let's try for it.
The water wasn't as cold as he'd expected, only a little below body temperature, but it quickly grew deeper. By the time Ryan led them around the corner, the water was up to their waists.
There's the sector to the Matrans unit.
Mildred and Jack were both only 5 feet 4 inches tall, and the dark water rose halfway up their chests.
Can't go too much further without starting to swim.
Mildred held her ZKR 551 over her head to keep it dry. The others carried their weapons as high as they could as well.
It levels off here.
Ryan finally reached the doors. The green control lever was out of sight in the murky water. Only one overhead strip light still functioned, casting its insipid glow over the six friends.
Want me to open her up?
No, I'll do it. Take your point, Doc. Do it gently. Until the level stabilizes inside and out. Then all the way, we go straight for the chamber to jump. Don't waste any more time. Everyone ready? Here we go.
The water started to drop, bubbling under the heavy sector, through the 6-inch gap that Ryan had left for it, dropping until it wasn't much above the knees.
Open her the rest of the way, Ryan. I fear that it will not get more shallow, only deeper.
Right.
The water level was close to the tops of the monitor desks, lapping at the walls. At first glance, Ryan saw that about half of the comp panels were down, the screens dull and lifeless. He waded toward the anteroom, careful not to make too great a turbulence, followed by Christy, then Doc and Jack. Mildred and JB brought up the rear. Ryan looked back to see that Jack had caught his feet on an overturned stool, hidden below the surface, and had fallen, sending a wave right around the chamber that broke against the tops of some of the nearer desks.
Sorry.
Ryan didn't say anything. No point in warning them all to be careful. He reached the door to the small anteroom, seeing the six-sided armaglass chamber just in front of him, its pale pink walls gleaming. The remaining lights cut out, leaving them in almost total darkness.
Time to go.
We'll have to stand.
Christy braced herself against the back wall.
Yeah, quick.
Ryan waited until everyone was inside the armaglass, huddled together, all pale-faced and nervous. He stepped inside the chamber and reached for the door, ready to trigger the jump mechanism.
Shit! Ah! Fire blast!
You all right, Lover?
Yeah, just an electric shock. I just hope that the red-blasted jump mechanism is all right.
Water's still rising slowly.
Ryan didn't answer. He pulled the armaglass door firmly shut, walking across and standing next to Christy, and put his arm around her.
So long to Harmony.
They waited for the discs in the floor and ceiling to start glowing, the latter just visible under the water, for the mist to gather above their heads, and for the brain-sucking darkness to swoop down over them.
Has anyone considered that if we fall unconscious, we might drown during the jump?
But the jump didn't start. Ryan opened the door and closed it again. There was a flash of silver light from the control room, then all the lights went out. In silent darkness, water trickled down the walls and through the door, adding to the rising water levels.
Deathlands Crossways is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 1996, Worldwide Library. Deathlands trademarks owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Production copyright 2008, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, David Coyne, Karen Carbone, James Konacek, Eric Messner, Kate Torrey, Michael John Casey, James Lewis, Dylan Lynch, Thomas Penny, Ken Jackson, Michael Glenn, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Bob Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry and Temeskin Wubna. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Book adapted for graphic audio by Casey Jones. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at roadstops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a new episode of Mark Dalton, Owner-Operator.